How you doing? This is fantastic. People actually came. When I was given the topic on speaking about the body of an overcomer, I thought it was a joke. I thought Scott Thornton had set me up and I thought I was going to walk into a room and he would shut the door behind me and lock me in a closet and just as punishment for all the pranks that I've played on him. But it seems like it's a genuine session, so I'm glad I've put some thought into it. So what we're going to do is get you to do a whole heap of exercise. How's that sound? Can we just stand up just for a moment and just do some stretching, because this is like the graveyard shift and I don't want anyone falling asleep, not on my watch. So just kind of maybe lean to your left and then lean to your right. That'd be fantastic. Grab the person's shoulders in front of you. Give them a bit of a massage. There we go. Turn to the person to the right and slap them across the face. No, don't do that. No. I'm joking. You can do that. It's all right. Please take your seats. We're going to have a fun session this afternoon. And depending on how long I take, we may have some questions at the end, but we'll see how we go. But I just want to thank you for the opportunity in sharing. It's a real privilege. And as Aaron said, my wife did share yesterday. And so who was here for Kath's session yesterday? So a good number of you got to hear her side of the story. I say her side of the story, because how many know that the husband's side of the story isn't always the same as the wife's side of the story? And how many know that it's usually the men that are right and not? No, not at all. Oh, there's some brave men who said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I know where you'll be sleeping tonight, but anyway, fantastic. And so what I want to do is just share a little bit of my journey when it comes to what Kath talked about yesterday, and I'll explain that in a minute for those of you who were not in the room. But what she did tell you was some of the things that we went through a couple of years ago in 2016 that was related to my health personally. And what I want to tell you is how I was able to overcome that season of my life. And I've been asked to speak about having the body of an overcomer. And so in order to know where my victory started, it really started many, many years prior to that 2016. 2016 for us was a crazy, crazy year. But I'm so grateful that I made the decision as a teenager many, many years ago. You see, as a teenager, I was in the church. I'd given my life to Jesus and I was excited. I was bright-eyed. I was bushy-tailed. I had this incredible belief that we could do all things through Christ who strengthened us. The biggest problem that I faced was the older, supposedly more mature believers in the church, because they didn't demonstrate what I thought you should be able to demonstrate, because I was just a young Christian. I didn't even know much. And I thought, man, with a few years more experience and learning, surely the excitement increases, the faith increases, the stories increase. And I felt like I was surrounded by older people that had lost their passion, that were quite old and stayed in their ways. They were unhappy and they were unfit. And it confused me based upon the decision I made to follow Christ. And so I remember thinking to myself, based upon this reality, what would I say to a 50-year-old version of myself? Now, when you're 18 years of age, which I was many, many years ago, 50 seems like 1,000 years away. You know what I'm saying? And so when you're a teenager, you know, 30 seems like forever away. Never mind 50. And I remember coming up with this life mantra for myself that I could use to inspire myself throughout my 20s, throughout my 30s, and throughout my 40s. And this is the life mantra that I came up with for myself. As a 50-year-old, I wanted the body of a young man, I wanted the wisdom of an older man, and I wanted the spirit of a godly man. I'll say that again. I wanted the body of a young man, I wanted the wisdom of an older man, and I wanted the spirit of a godly man. And I'm so grateful to God that I settled that early, because that mantra gave me permission to kick my own backside when I felt like my faith was waning, when I felt like giving up and giving in. And so essentially as an 18-year-old, I gave myself permission as an 18-year-old to kick my 25-year-old behind, my 30-year-old behind, my 40-year-old behind, so that I could hold myself throughout all the seasons of my life. Because how many know that life can hand you some unexpected challenges? Life can be cruel at times, and people can be cruel. In actual fact, if there's one thing that all pastors agree on, it may not be our eschatology, but one thing all pastors from all denominations agree on is that people can be cruel. And it's this people cruelness and this life unexpected turns that come our way that can make this life mantra harder to actually implement. And in 2016, we had a crazy, crazy year, to say the least. It started with our youth pastor being struck by lightning and dying. And we had to, as a leadership couple, navigate our church through that. But we were also dealing with our own grief, because we'd lost a staff member, we'd lost a friend, we'd lost a fellow soldier, and we had to navigate that. But not only did our youth leader get struck by lightning, my niece also, who was standing next to him, got struck by lightning. And the good news is she lived to tell the story, and I was able to officiate in their marriage or their wedding just last year. So that's a great story. But our youth leader was struck by lightning and he died instantly. And so we've got this question to answer. Why is it that two people can be struck by lightning and one lives and one dies? And you've got to have a faith that can handle that. And so we had to grieve while we were trying our best to answer some of those questions, of which, for the most part, we still don't have answers to. And this is what I've learned in life. If you don't have answers for something, then maybe the issue is not to get an answer. It's just to trust God. And so 2 years later, I still don't have a lot of answers to some of the things that took place that year, but I have developed an incredible trust in God. And so 2016 started with the death of our youth pastor. Then in March, my wife found lumps where there shouldn't be lumps. And so we had to go back to hospital and we had to kind of investigate all that side of things. And by God's grace, there's been given a clear bill of health, which is great, but there are ongoing tests. And so that's, you know, kind of something that we had to deal with in that same God-blessed year. You know, we started like many of you at the start of every year, where we said 2016 is going to be our best year ever. And we prophesied and we prayed and we did all those charismatic Pentecostal Christian things, but kind of all hell broke loose. And then our son broke his arm, which isn't a real big deal compared to the other two things, but he broke his arm, which meant another hospital visit. And the thing about our son that you do need to know is breaking his arm was a little bit of an unexpected turn, because we prophesied over him when he was younger he would never break an arm. And the reason we said he'd never break an arm is because when he was younger he always landed on his head. And so I said to my wife, I said, at least Mitch will never break an arm. Well, in 2016, he broke an arm. And then in 2016, in the May, I was struck down with a blood infection. And this blood infection nearly took my life. I was in hospital for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks is a long time in hospital for anybody. But especially for someone like me, who's got ADD, ADHD, LMNOP. I've got every letter of the alphabet. And so to be hospitalized for 3 weeks was tough to take. And I remember midway through that 3 week period saying to the doctor, I feel like my body is shutting down. And he said to me, the reason you feel like your body is shutting down is because it is shutting down. And so I remember having to face death, you know, and I'm thinking, my goodness me, our youth pastor died in January. I'm dying now. And then I start thinking forward and think, man, with me dead and our youth pastor dead, who's going to want to ever say yes to leadership at Victory Church? You know, no one, because everyone dies. That's what I'm thinking. And these are very real. I mean, they're comical now, but they were very real things at the time. And so I remember dealing with all of that. And by God's grace, we came through that season. And one thing I learned about blood infection is that blood goes through your entire body, which you know, but I knew it at a whole nother level because everything in my body got checked. I mean, I was checked thoroughly over and over and over again. I felt like a pincushion in hospital for 3 weeks. I mean, everything that could be checked got checked multiple times. And came through that, and then they found that everything was fine with the exception of my heart valve. My heart valve had been damaged because of the blood infection. And I had to go back to hospital 2 months later to have open heart surgery. And I think there's a picture, I'm not sure. Yeah, that's me, 2016. Doesn't look much like an overcomer there, but that was me for a little while. And so we can get that ugly photo off the screen right now. But, you know, I'm here to say that life can handle you things that you're not necessarily expecting. And I remember in hospital facing death, and I'm so glad for the decision that I made as a young man. And I remember resolving this, that there's something worse than death. I remember when my body was shutting down and I'm thinking I'm going to die. And I remember thinking I would rather die than lose my testimony. I thought the thing that could be worse than dying is me living and then complaining and whinging about what happened to me for the rest of my life and lamenting, woe is me, why me? And I remember as I came out of that season where I was really sick and really weak, and I remember with all the strength I could muster, I remember saying to the devil, I say, devil, you're going to wish I had died. Because I'm going to take this story everywhere I go and I'm going to use it against you and show people that there is a way through every circumstance and every situation that we face in life. Amen? And so the truth is this life mantra of mine is easier said than lived. And I'm sure you've experienced things in your life where things are easier said than lived. And so each of these three things have a corresponding action. And so when you want the wisdom of an older man, which was one of the portions of my life mantra, I realized there was an action to that. And so I made a decision that I would never make a decision on my own. That I would always fellowship up. That I would get older, wiser people speaking into my life. And I can stand before you as a 49-year-old. See, I'm almost at my 50, 49 years of age. And some people say, well, what happens when you get 50? Well, I'm just going to bump it up to 80. That's all I'm going to do with this life mantra of mine. And I can honestly stand here before you and say, as a 49-year-old, I've never made a major decision in my life on my own. Never made a major decision. And so, again, we're here talking about all kinds of things, but if that's what stands out to you today, and that's what God is speaking to you about, write that down and put that into practice. But I've never made a major decision in my life on my own. Even from some of the smaller things, I remember my first car that I ever bought. Now, I'm not much of a car guy. You know, sorry, guys. You know, I know as a man, I'm meant to be more of a car guy than I am. I'm just not. I'm not into cars, but I like a nice car. And I knew if I went looking for a car, I would buy the wrong car. And so I knew if I went to my dad, I love my dad. He's my hero. Outside of Jesus, my dad is my hero. But he's artistic. He's a creative. He's not a mechanic at all. And so if I'd gone with my dad, what we would have done is picked the red one. Whatever car it was, it would have been red because we like red. But I thought that's not going to be the best proviso to buy a car. But I remember going across the road to Uncle John. And I asked Uncle John, who was a mechanic, if he would take me looking for a new car. And I bought my first car, and I'll never forget, I bought a car I didn't like and I didn't want. But he said, if you buy this car, it was a 1974 Toyota Corona, which was not cool. But I bought it just because he said. And I sold that car, I had it for 5.5 years, and I sold it for $100 more than I paid for all those years earlier, which is a miracle, you know. And here's the cool thing, I was able to buy my first home by the age of 19. And people say, wow, how do you do that? I want to tell you, I did it because I just listened to the right people. I'm not that smart, but I am smart enough to listen to the right people. So when it comes to having the wisdom of an older man, I've just put myself under the influence of older, wiser, more mature men and women than myself. And that's one of the reasons I'm here at Life Conference this year, to place myself under the teaching and the wisdom of older, wiser people than myself, because I know that puts me in good stead for my future. So that's when it comes to the wisdom of an older man. Obviously, when it comes to having the spirit of a godly man, we heard some of that in the last session. But for me, I kind of created four cultures that I settled in the cool light of day. I believe it's far better to settle things in the cool light of day than the heat of battle. It's far better to settle things in the cool light of day than the heat of passion. We have a lot of young men and women who want to hold on to their purity. The trouble is they haven't settled it in the cool light of day. And so in the heat of passion, they make some silly decisions. Well, I want to tell you, to make the best time to make decisions is in the cool light of day. And so I developed these four cultures that would help me keep a good spirit, because I realized in this life, you'll either get better or bitter. And I wanted to be the guy that got better, not bitter. And I saw so many people in ministry just get churned out because of people pain. And let's be honest, there's a lot of pain in this world, but probably the greatest level of pain is the people pain. We've all got a story where somebody hurt us. And I've seen that hurt take many, many people, well-intentioned people, people that love God, out of ministry. And I just didn't want to be that casualty. And so I developed these four things. The first one was keep it real. You know, if you're having a bad day, don't pretend. Let's just call it what it is. It's just a bad day. And if you're struggling right now, know this, that your struggle is proof of life. So that's a good thing. It means you haven't given up. So if you're struggling right now, that's a good thing. It means you haven't given up and you're still in the fight. So I want to encourage you with that. So keeping it real is a real big thing for me. Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was fully persuaded that God had the power to do that which he had promised. And I remember when I was dying in hospital, I didn't say, I'm not dying. No, I'm an overcomer. I didn't say that. I said, my body is shutting down. I am dying. I need a miracle. And it's amazing what God can do with our reality. So keep it real. Keep it big. You know, because what I've noticed in life, things don't drift towards reality. They drift to fake. They don't drift towards bigness. They drift to smallness. So you've got to keep it big. You've got to keep it big. You've got to keep your conversations big. Everyone gets drawn into small conversations. So keep it big. If you want to keep a right spirit, keep your conversations big. Our God is a big God. So keep it big. Number three is keep it great. Keep it great. Sing that song, How Great Is Our God. That is not a question. It's not like a question, yeah, it's been a little bit tough for me. Yeah, just how great is God? It's not a question. It's a statement of faith. It's kind of like being at the rugby, watching the All Blacks beat Australia again. And we say, oh, how great is that? It's not a question. It's just a statement. You know, there's no question that the All Blacks are better than Australia. There's no question there. It's just a statement of fact. And so you've got to keep the conversations great. You've got to keep them great. You know, I mentioned my son earlier, and I'm not sure what Kath mentioned about Mitch exactly, but he was born with complications surrounding his birth. They picked up on the ultrasound that he had no digits on his left hand, and the umbilical cord was damaged, and so they strongly suggested that we terminate, and we kind of suggested no thank you, but no thank you, and we made a decision to keep this young kid alive. And I remember facing the fact that this kid may never speak, this kid may not do all kinds of things, but we're going to take what we get because God doesn't make mistakes. And we settled that. As it was, he was born and the doctors were right. He had a few digits missing on his fingers, on his left hand. But, you know, he's just grown into an incredible kid. But I do remember thinking to myself when he was a baby, there's coming a day where he's going to ask me about why he was born the way he was born. And I kind of just put it in the back of my mind and just thought, oh, I'll just hopefully have an answer when that day comes. And I'll never forget, that day came far too soon for my liking. I was hoping I'd at least be 100 years of age before I had to deal with that question. But the reality is, when he was about 4 years of age, he went to kindergarten, and kids with their curiosity ask questions. And so one little kid comes up and says, hey, where's your fingers? Kids are beautiful and they're cruel and they're kind, they're cute, they're all kinds of things, and they're honest. And so Mitchie came home a little bit perplexed that day. And I remember looking at him, just the sheer look in his face. I thought, oh, this is that day. And I'm not 100, it's come way too quick. And I remember these cultures, you know. And I said to him, he says, Dad, why was I born with no fingers on my left hand? And I looked at him and I wanted to burst into tears. And I remember looking at him and I said, Mitch, I don't know. Culture number one, keep it real. Parenting 101, if you don't know the answer to something, don't make something up to make yourself look better or smarter than you actually are. And so I just said, Mitch, I don't know. And it's amazing how God honored the reality, the vulnerability, the humility of that moment for me. I said, I don't know. Then I got this God drop. I said, but Mitch, I don't know why you were born with blonde hair. And then I felt the anointing kick in. I said, Mitch, I don't know why you were born with blonde eyes. Blonde hair, blue eyes. I don't know why you were born with blue eyes, Mitch. And I said, Mitch, I also don't know why. You're so incredibly handsome. I said, Mitch, I don't know if you know this or not. There's a lot of ugly kids out there. And you're not one of them. And his little head lifted up. Chest went out. He started walking around. Started addressing all the other kids as ugly. No, not really. But you know, we've never had another conversation about that. Just keep the conversation. I didn't answer his question. I still don't know. But I do know this. God has an incredible way of using people's lives for his glory. Sometimes it's through healing. And other times it's through the way we conduct ourselves in what life hands us. And so I've tried my best to raise this kid having the best possible attitude on life by having big conversations, great conversations, real conversations, so that we can keep a sweet, right, godly spirit. And he's just embraced his life, and he has jokes about his hand. I remember as a young kid after that, he would do magic shows. He'd say, hey, look, Dad, you know, fingers, no fingers. He'd get his other hand. He'd go, no fingers, look at that. And watch this, da-da! Oh, he's doing all this kind of thing. In actual fact, the day he broke his arm, did you tell him that story? He broke his arm. For those of you who weren't listening to Kath, because that can happen. hang on, I've just got to give you some love. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're amazing. She's amazing. I love being married, by the way. We've been married for 26 years. We dated for 8 years before that. We've been together for 34,000 years. It's amazing. And it just gets better with time. And so Mitchie, with his little hand that was broken, he didn't like the look of it because it was kind of all out of shape. And so they put a hat over it. And when the ambulance came and removed the hat, Mitchie screams, goes, ah, where are my fingers? And the ambo driver is like, where are the fingers? What? He goes, are you having me on? He said, yeah. So you've got to have a great attitude. And the last one when it comes to the spirit is just, keep it fun, and in brackets, with a little bit of naughty. Our culture is to be a little bit naughty, but we like to have fun because this life can get so serious. Yeah. We're dealing with people's problems all the time. We're visiting hospitals. We're dealing with sickness. We're dealing with sadness. We're dealing with divorce. We're dealing with separation, and it can take the fun out of you. And so these are things that you've got to make a decision to do. And so in order for us to have wisdom beyond our years, keeping a right spirit. These are some of the things I've done, but that's not what I'm actually here to talk about today, is it? It's actually having the body of an overcomer, and so, which brings me to my first point, and that is the body of a young man. I do have a way of interrupting myself, so that's cool. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says this, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it. And what I love about that, it highlights the fact that you and I are triune beings. We have a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we are triune beings. We are body, soul, spirit. We are a spirit that owns a soul that lives in a body. And God intended us to live whole lives. And in order to live whole lives, we have to address every area of our lives. Does that make sense? Write this down. There are more than bananas in banana cake. I think sometimes we approach life with a magic wand and a what's the knockout punch? Give me one thing to do that's going to change my life. And the reality is, we are body, soul, and spirit. And when it comes to a banana cake, there's more than bananas in a banana cake. You know, when there's actually some really boring things. There's things like flour and eggs, a little bit of milk. There's all these other things. We enjoy the cake at the end. Man, that banana cake is amazing. We think the answer is bananas. It's not. It's one of the ingredients. And I've always tried to adopt as best I can a holistic approach to life because we are triune beings. And there are different aspects and different facets of our life. And I think as Christians, when we have a problem, we often make all of our problems spiritual ones. And the trouble is when you make all of your problems spiritual ones, of which some are, but if you make all of your problems spiritual ones, you're going to think prayer is the answer to all your problems. And sometimes prayer is not the answer for all of your problems. Sometimes it's like we heard with Pastor Chris this morning, you've got to go to someone and actually apologize. In order to get healing, you've actually got to go and do something beyond just praying about something. And I believe when it comes to our physical well-being, we can't just pray for good health. There are some things that we have to take responsibility for in order for us to be healthy beings. In actual fact, I believe the best gift you can give anyone is a healthy you. A healthy mind, a healthy body, a healthy spirit. Here's the thing I've learned. Some Christians get very religious when it comes to the body and they act like it's not important. They often would quote 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 and say that physical training is of little value and they hide behind that. But I would say even if it is of little value, can we just look at the little bit that it's of value? Can we just do that today? Just look at the actual little bit. And this is the other thing I've noticed. People say the body doesn't matter, but when they're in trouble and they're sick, they soon want you to pray for them. So the body does matter. Yeah. We want our body functioning well. Amen. And so I believe in both divine healing. I believe in healing. I believe in divine healing and I believe in divine health. In actual fact, you saw the photo of me before. During surgery, well, what you need to know is I came out of surgery and my recovery was miraculous. It was miraculous. I mean, I was back on my feet within a very short period of time doing things that astounded the doctors. And I tagged this little phrase that my recovery was both medical and miracle. You know, for me to say it was all God would just be to slap the doctors in the face. And we had some of the best care ever. I am so grateful for the doctors. I remember all the nurses that came and looked after me. I remember saying to everyone, I said, thank you for looking after me, because I realized they get treated so badly. They were getting shouted at, sworn at. They were just treated really badly. So I thought, I'm going to be really kind to them. And I remember saying to every nurse, after every time I was visited by a nurse, I said, thank you for looking after me. Thank you for looking after me. And it's amazing. I got the best treatment because they were just, I just think they wanted to be around me as opposed to the people that are abusing them. But I'm very forever grateful for the medical profession in our nation. And for me to say it's all God is a slap in the face of those men who have learned to trade and cared for me during that time. So it's both medical and miracle. God supernaturally sped up the healing process in my body. But this is one thing the doctor said, which I thought was interesting. I said, man, I want to thank you, doctor, because my recovery has been amazing. So you're obviously very good at what you do, and I want to say thank you. And he said, can I say, I wish everyone was as fit as you are, because your fitness and your health had a massive part to play in your recovery. And so I'm not here on some health gig. You know when someone loses weight and they tell you all about it and they're consumed with that conversation, it's just like, oh, it just gets annoying. You know, I don't want to ever be that guy. I just want to try and help where I can. But I can't deny that my recovery had something to do with all the years of just looking after myself. And the doctors acknowledged that. And he didn't have to do that, because I was actually saying thank you to him and complimenting him on how good he is at his job. But he said, I do need to say that your fitness and your health, the way you've looked after yourself, played a massive part in your recovery. And so for me, my recovery is both medical and it's miracle. And so today is not about dropping prayer and just looking after yourself physically. It's not about, you know, ignoring what I'm saying today and just going for prayer. There's more than bananas in banana cake. There's lots of ingredients in a successful life, and we want to make sure that we pick up all those particular areas. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so today I want to look at why it's important to look after your body, and then some practical things of what we can do. Is that helpful? And if any of you want to just get up now and walk out, because this is not what you signed up for, I'll shut my eyes and you can walk out. But hopefully it's helpful today. See, while I had a vision to be fit at the age of 50, there were things I had to do. Everything starts with a vision, absolutely, but a vision without a plan is just a fantasy. Proverbs 12 verse 11 says, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment." And so we can all desire to be healthier. We can all desire to be fitter, or we can all desire to have a good godly spirit. But there are some actions that we need to implement in order for that to take place. Does that make sense? And so here's a few whys. Why, number one, this is why I believe we should take care of our body. Number one, because of personal gratitude. Just to show appreciation to God for what we've received. Your body is a gift from God. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. We've been so indoctrinated by society that we think we're too short, we're too tall, we're too this, we're too that. But the Bible says you're wonderful and you're wonderfully made. And I believe that we need to look after that which God has given us. You know, our children each have a bedroom, and we've been in different homes as they've grown up. And the homes we've moved into have become nicer homes. But even when we was in our first little home, our desire was that they would look after what they've been given. Look after what you've got. And so if you are shorter than you want to be, look after your short stature. If you're taller than you want to be, hey, look after your tall. Just be grateful for what you've got. Look after it, because it shows gratitude for what God has given you. Be grateful and thankful for what you have. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I tell our kids all the time, I said, if you want to change the world, then just get victory in your bedroom first. You know, don't let the clutter and don't let the junk and don't let the washing win the victory in your bedroom. Win the victory in your bedroom first before you take on the world. Does that make sense? And so the first reason I believe why we should look after our bodies is because of personal gratitude. Secondly, because of personal loss. See, whatever you neglect in life, you will lose. And this is true across every area of life. If you neglect your family, guess what? You'll lose your family. We can't look at the divorce rate in our society and say, what's going wrong? There's neglect that's attached to loss. So if we neglect our families, we'll lose our families. If we neglect our money and finances, we can lose our money. If we neglect our business, we can lose our business. If we neglect our health, we will lose our health. People lose their health. I've heard this said this way. People lose their health to gain their wealth and then try to use their wealth to get back their health. Have you noticed that? And I just want to say this, that there's a better way. There's a better way. And I'm not talking about you winning a bodybuilding competition. I'm not talking about you winning the Olympic gold medal. I'm just talking about wherever we're positioned in life to become a healthier version of ourselves. Does that make sense today? Because we should not only be grateful, but also faithful. Faithful with what we've been given. And that's what Matthew 25 is all about, with the parable of the talents. To some, one talent was given. To another, two talents were given. To another, five talents were given. And it doesn't matter what you've been given, it's what you do with what you've been given. And it's interesting that the gentleman with the five talents and the two talents, that they were grateful and that they put to work their talent and they gained more. But the one with one was just so busy comparing himself to what the others had and what he didn't have, he didn't do anything with it. And I think sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and think, oh, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. I'm too short. I'm too this. I'm too that. And we don't use and look after that which God has given us. Does that make sense today? So out of personal loss. And then thirdly, out of personal benefits. personal benefits. This is me talking. This isn't the internet talking. This is my experience, that you'll feel better about yourself because you'll be happier and healthier as a result. 3 John 2 says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." And so some of the physical benefits that I've experienced is that you can increase energy levels. It's an amazing thing to me that if you give energy, you get energy. How many have ever experienced that in your finances? You give to God and then you find you've actually got more than if you didn't give to God. It's like a principle. If you give to God, you'll get more. And I've found that I've got more energy through expending energy. It's been my reality that if we could just get involved in looking after ourselves, looking after our bodies, you're actually going to have more energy than before. And that's really what this talk is all about. It's about us having the energy and the fitness and the health to do that which God has called us to do. What we don't want to do is not do what God's calling us to do because of something that we weren't prepared to do when it comes to looking after ourselves. Ministry can be tiring, but it's going to be a lot more tiring if we're unfit and unhealthy. Does that make sense? Again, no judgment today. Do you still love me? If you ever loved me? I don't want to limit God's will due to a self-imposed bad health. Secondly, it can relieve stress. I often say, you know, people commend me for my discipline in getting to the gym and watching what I eat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are some benefits that go with that. But honestly, for me, it's more out of sanity than vanity. Write that down. Honestly, for me, you know, ministry can be emotionally and mentally taxing. Some of the things that you've faced, some of the things that I've faced, and it can just get you down. But what I find is that through being healthy and doing some exercise, it can relieve stress, anxiety, depression. Again, all these things are on the rise. All these things are on the rise. And so these are some things that can help when it comes to stress. Thirdly, it can clear your mind. Joyce Meyer wrote the book, The Battlefield of the Mind. Many other books have been written in this area. It's one of the areas that we are losing ground because of our stinking thinking. We just get caught up in the pain. We get caught up in the confusion. We get caught up in the hurt. We get caught up in what it is that we're going through. And what I find, when I do exercise, it can just clear my mind. You know, and again, I thank God for prayer because prayer can get that breakthrough. But sometimes it's just getting to the gym, doing something physical that can actually help me pray better. Again, there's more than bananas in banana cake. Are you with me today? I hope you remember that, if nothing else. There's more than bananas in banana cake. It can clear your mind from our stinking thinking. Number four, it can improve the quality of your sleep. I hear this all the time. I lie down, I just can't get to sleep. I can't get to sleep. I mean, if you're a teenager in this room or you're in your early 20s and you just hit the pillow and you go to sleep, that's fine. That's because you don't have a lot of responsibility. But you know, get married, have children, get a mortgage, get a job, get a boss that's on your back, and all of a sudden, these are things that can keep you awake at night. Yeah. And you can just toss and turn. And what I love, the psalmist says this, he says, "I lay down and I sleep." Yeah. I thought, wow, that's almost become an oxymoron for many people. They lay down, they worry. See, what I've found is through expending energy, it actually makes you just get tired. Sometimes you just need just to do something physical in order to make yourself tired enough so that you can sleep well. And this is a great one, particularly for those who've been married for a long period of time and the, you know, the marriage can, you know, wane and all the rest of it. It's a proven fact that it can improve your sex life. So for all the married couples in here, just write that one down. And for the singles in here, you've got something to look forward to. You know, I often say this, that what it takes to get the girl is what it takes to keep the girl. And it always saddens me when you get these young, you know, fit, healthy teenagers fall in love, they get married, you know, in their early 20s, and then they just let themselves go as if, like, I've got the person now, I don't have to try. I feel that my wife deserves the best version of myself. because when I was younger, I looked a certain way, and I want to be wiser than that kid at 18, but I don't want to just let myself go because I think my wife deserves better than that. And I feel the same for her. I feel that it's mutual, that we can actually give each other a better version of ourselves just by looking after ourselves. Now, when I say this, people think you shouldn't wear tracksuit pants or UGG boots. There's a place for that. But if that's all you now wear, if you dressing up is just tracksuit pants, that's all you wear, there's something gone wrong in your relationship. No? Yes? I believe in making the most. I said this in the marriage thing last week. So if you're not married here, you just want to close your eyes. But, you know, when I was in hospital and I was almost dying, did you say this, Kath? Did you tell everyone this? People wanted me to bring it up, so I'm going to say I'm bringing it up anyway. But honestly, again, keeping it fun, keeping it real and all those things. I remember in hospital, you know, I was sick. But when I was starting to get my strength back, And I looked at my wife and I said, I'm getting stronger again. And we're in hospital. And playing doctors and nurses, that can be fun. And so we did something like that. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but, you know, you can use your imagination. And so I have one believer, one convert. Thank you. You know, like I said, you can't stop the aging process, but you don't have to get old. Are you with me?
Yes.
Fantastic. So what to do? Here we go, some what to do's. We need now to look at what you eat and what you do. When it comes to the reality of what I've been talking about, all the stories are great, but there is a corresponding action to wanting the body of a younger man. And that means that what I've done and what I've eaten isn't what a lot of other people are doing and eating. And that was one of the things, honestly, that was one of the things that actually put me off ministry when I was younger. Now, again, with all due respect, and I don't mean to be crass, but it's a young man talking. I loved our pastor, and I love what he did for me, but I didn't want to be him. And there was a kind of a stereotypical mindset back in the day. Now, again, I'm 49, so go back 30-odd years, that it was acceptable to look a certain way. You weren't allowed to drink alcohol, but you was allowed to eat whatever you want. And it just didn't make sense to me. And so, you know, again, without being unkind, most of the pastors that were in my world were what I would say are overweight, and they were bald. Now, I know you can't do anything about balding, but again, this is an 18-year-old talking. And I didn't want that for me. It's not what I saw as an older 50-year-old. And this is going to sound like I'm lying. This is going to sound like, how could God say that? But I felt God met me in my need. And it seems so superficial what I'm about to tell you, but I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, God laid this on my heart. I felt God say to me, I said to God, I don't know if I want ministry because of what it means you've got to become, and I don't want to become that. And I'm kind of having this dialogue with God. Well, who says it has to be like that? I'm like, well, I know, because this is what I see. And I felt God make a deal with me. I felt God say, if you look after your body, I'll look after your hair. Which is, it seems crazy. Remember, I'm 18, I'm very naive, very young, but I felt God met me in that time. And it's amazing, every time I get my hair cut now, my hairdresser will say this, she says, you've got so much hair. You've got so much hair. And so yeah, what you see is all real. It's kind of, it's just God answering my prayers, but there was a part I had to play. That's the point. And so, if that story encourages you,
so good.
Be blessed, in Jesus' name. We've got 11 minutes. We're probably not going to get any questions and answer. But anyway, I'll just get through this stuff, okay? So when it comes to food and exercise, this is pretty much the rule of thumb. It's 70% what you put in your mouth, and it's 30% exercise. It's just kind of the basic rule. Some might say 65, 35. Some might say 20, 80, whatever. But let's just settle with somewhere around, it's 70% what you eat. So if you don't change your eating and just get into the gym or do some exercise, not much is going to change for you. If you were only going to do one thing, I would say what you eat. If you was only going to take one of these things, I would probably lean towards watching what you eat more so than doing anything. If you can, I would say do a little bit of both. But by way of introduction, I'd say this. Don't wait till it's broken. It's amazing what people will do when they're on their deathbed. Said, if you don't look after yourself, you're going to die. So they do something about it. I don't want to get to, I look at the precious people in this room. Why should we wait till we're dying before we do something about looking after ourselves? Yeah. So I would say, don't wait till it's broken. You know, this is a good to great conversation. So don't wait till it's broken. And secondly, you need to know your numbers. We've heard that from Pastor Chris all week. You've got to know the numbers. Because numbers are indicators of health. Yeah. When I was in hospital, they checked my numbers every day, three times a day. What's my blood pressure? What's my heart? They want to know. And they didn't glorify the numbers, but it was an indicator of where I was at. And so by standing on a scale, by doing some measurements, by doing a fitness test, those numbers will help you know where you're at. And here's the cool thing. When you make an effort to reduce those numbers, it's actually part of the encouragement when you start seeing those numbers change. So if you're in a church and it's not growing and they're low numbers and they start growing, that's encouragement. But if your numbers are high and you want to see them go down, that's encouragement. So I would say you've got to know your numbers. So don't wait until it's broken and know your numbers. Yeah? Again, I can't go into all the details of what that looks like. Hopefully, I'll promote healthy conversation with you and somebody in order to do something about what we're talking about today. So when it comes to food, I'd say this. Number one, eat less. By and large, people eat too much food. I'm going to keep this real simple. There's different levels of fitness and health in this room, but I'm going to keep it at a base level. So just eat less food. By and large, we eat too much food. How many notice there's lots of diet books out there? And the question I always get asked is, which is the right one? Which is the best one? Well, I would say be careful of the fads. Be careful of the fads. But I would say this, you know, all diet books work for some. And what you have to find out is what works for you. Because there's some things that just work for some people. It's, oh, you've got to try this. And you try it and you're like, I'm dying here. You know, I'm starving or nothing's changing. Because not everything's going to work for everyone. It's not a one-size-fits-all scenario. So I never want to put onto anyone what I do. I can tell you what I do as an example, but it's not necessarily what you need to do. The goal is health. The goal is greater fitness. The goal is not to be paleo. You know, if you're a paleo person, that's great, but can you just not shove it down our throat? That's all I'm saying, you know. There are other means. Right now, it's intermittent fasting. If you get around someone who's onto intermittent fasting, they can be a pain. Oh, you've got it. 16 hours, you're not allowed to eat. Then you can eat for 8 hours. You can eat whatever you want. That's not true, by the way. But that's how they sell it. And then it's actually not like that at all. But that can work. They can all work for some of the people, some of the time. And so what I've learned as a 49-year-old, I've learned what's worked for me. I've tried different things. I've given it sufficient time to know if it's working or not. And so I learned to know my own body because no one will know your body better than you. Are you following me? So eat less food. Secondly, eat better food. Simple, huh? Eat less food, eat better food. You know, if we just cut out some of the junk, you know, we start saying, oh, hang on, there's all this sugar in this stuff. If we just cut out the stuff we know that's got a heap of sugar in it, just start there. People say, I want to lose weight. I say, well, what are you eating? Well, just before I go to bed, I have 3 bars of chocolate. I have a couple of Cokes. I say, you know what? I'd start there. Don't worry about the little bit of sugar that's in potatoes. Or just start with cutting out the junk food. So eat better food. And what I would say, one of the killers are the sauces and all the flavorings. You know, we have a nice healthy meal, but then we cover it in sauce. So I would say, you know, the junk food and some of those sauces. So eat better food, eat less food, eat better food. Thirdly, prepare your food. Proper preparation is essential. And again, to me, I'm not into diets, I'm into lifestyle. And so one of the things that has enhanced our marriage is our meal preparation. You know, and I would say get lots of Tupperware because you can make your own little meals. And so I have my lunch box with all these different meals packed. And again, that's what works for me. But what makes it work is the preparation. I'll tell you why poor preparation is the problem, because what happens when you get hungry, you just go for whatever is nearest and easiest. Whereas I make good meals easiest because they're prepared. So when you're hungry, you just want to eat now. But if you prepared the meal, you can eat that now, and it's actually good for you. Does that make sense? Whereas if you haven't prepared something, and you've actually got to, you know, open a can of tuna, and you've got to slice up a lettuce and grate a carrot, but you're starving, you're not going to do that. You're going for the pie because it's just instant. But you can make good food instant with good preparation. Is this too basic or is this helpful? Drink more water. Nothing new there. Why? Because it's good for you. We are 60% water. Our bodies are 60% water. And it also stops some of the hunger pains. Sometimes we got to, our body, our mind tricks us. We think we're hungry. But if you just sip on some water, within 20 minutes that hunger will pass. So drinking lots of water is good for you and it will stop the hunger pains. And then I'd say this, if you're doing this, reward yourself. And so we have a junk food night, a cheat meal, call it what you will, and that's Monday night. It's kind of changed a little bit as the kids have got older, but you know, a number of years ago, kids were younger. Monday night was the movie night, and honestly, we would eat whatever we want. And it's amazing what you start craving. For me, there's certain things we craved, and it's kind of got quite systematic in what we always wanted the same things. And so there was a nice junk meal, and there was lots of lollies, there was ice cream, chocolates, and all that. And we just did not feel bad about that. That was part of the reward, and we'd watch a movie and just have a fun night in our pajamas with the family. So that kind of worked well. We still do that. It's a little bit different now as the children have got older, but you've got to reward yourself. In actual fact, in Genesis, is an incredible little pattern of how to do life. God works. He says, let there be light, and there was. And he stops, takes a look at his work, and says, it's good. See the pattern? Work, celebrate. He does it on day two. Work, celebrate. He works, he celebrates, he works, he celebrates, he works, he celebrates, he works, he celebrates. And on that seventh day, Sabbath, rest. It's a great pattern if we can get into it. So celebrating the wins is really important. When it comes to exercise, because I've got 3 minutes now, this is what I'd say to every one of you. Find what you enjoy doing. Why? Because that's probably what you're going to do long term. I love the gym. I would never put that onto you. I love it. That makes me weird. I know. I love it. I actually do. I just love it. I know. It's crazy. I know. But maybe for you it's cycling. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's running. Maybe it's swimming. Whatever it is, find what you enjoy. And you may need to do a few different things to find what you enjoy doing. But find what you enjoy doing because that's the thing you're probably going to do long term. Number two, I would say get a training partner. Why? Because two are better than one. That will give you added motivation to push more weight, to go a bit longer, to go a bit harder. And secondly, accountability. Sometimes you don't feel like going to the gym, but you think, oh, I better because my mate will be there. And he's thinking, I don't want to go, but I better go because my mate will be there. And you both rock up and think, oh. And so now we're here. Sometimes the hardest thing about exercise is just putting your shoes on. And once you've got your shoes on and you're at the gym, just we're here now. Let's just do it. So, you know, over the years, for the most part, I've had a training partner, someone that can help me, motivate me, hold me accountable, help me with my technique, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In actual fact, when I come up to 50, so I'm 9 months away, obviously I want to look in my best shape ever. And so I'm going to get the help of a really good friend of mine who's a bodybuilder. He's like five times the size of me. And I'm just going to enlist his wisdom, his motive. He'll push me, he'll drive me. And I'm just going to put myself under that kind of pressure just for a personal goal. You know, I'm not saying you need to do that. But I do believe in the value that two are better than one. Speaking of one, I have 1 minute left. Be consistent, number three. Write this down. A little bit regularly is far better than a lot occasionally. I see young guys, they haven't been to the gym for a while. They get in there, they just try and push as much weight as they can and they exhaust themselves, they're stiff and they're sore, they hurt themselves and they don't go back for another year. That's not the best way to do it. The better way to do it is a little bit regularly. And then number four, I would simply say this, have a time and a place. You may not be able to do this, but for me, I love cardio in the morning. So I will do cardio in the mornings and for me, mostly that will be on a treadmill. And I'll do either a list training, which is a low intensity, longer. So a list would be like a low intensity 45 minute walk. Or I would do a HIIT, which is high intensity. And that's like 20 minutes. And I'll go flat out for a minute. And then I'll walk for 2 minutes. And I'll go flat out for a minute. And both have value. I like keeping the body guessing, so there's a little bit of food for thought there. So I do cardio in the mornings, and then I do my weights in the afternoon. This is what I've learned about me and my rhythms. This is my example, not your example, but it's my example. I've learned my body. I'm a morning person. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm an early bird. I like to just be up. It's my time where I can hear God and all that. Work hard, but by 4 o'clock I start to dip. And I think I'm tired, but I'm not actually tired. I'm mentally tired because of all. So what I found, I either want to go to bed or I get in the gym. And why I want to go to bed is because I'm mentally tired. But what I do, I say to my mind, I say, mind, you can have a sleep. You don't have to work in that. We're just going to the gym and I can work out. So I've found that works for me. Around 4 o'clock for me, not everyone can do that because of work, but that works for me. So you've got to find a time and a place that works for you. I'm over time now. Thank you. God bless. I've really enjoyed sharing. I hope it's been helpful. Thank you.
Well, let's really thank Pastor Tony.